Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. In the studio, we got Bill the producer, at least momentarily, before he passes out.
I'm only here until I get my plugs in for Lionfish by Eric Douglas, yeah. The latest in the Withrow Key series.
Did you do a selfie with your
I definitely. I should probably do that.
Yeah, do that. Get it up done. On Facebook.
I will get that done.
We got our
Except
first
I look terrible today.
Hard copies of Eric's new book that features the Scuba Radio cast.
Oh, I've gotten hard with this copy before.
Okay, that we didn't really need
Wait,
it. Anyway,
I guess I misunderstood.
It's not that kind of book, but it is.
There are parts about me in here that get me very hot. I'm going to be honest.
Okay. I'm glad he's only lasting for one segment. But we have that to talk about today. Also in the studio, Bubble Boy and CJ. Guys, how are you?
Hola, good, ¿cómo está? Muy bien, gracias.
Yeah, well, there you go. I'm glad we have translation for today's 2-hour radio spectacular.
You know what? You're not going to be happy.
Dos popitos en la cocina.
Okay, why is that? Why are we not happy, Bill? Because of that? Why? What do you mean?
If you were uncomfortable with what I said, you're going to be even more uncomfortable with what he said.
Okay.
I said the puppies are in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it sounded like to me.
And hello.
Free the puppies.
How are you?
Show me your puppies.
Well, we actually have Pete
Señorita,
from Scuba Board.
Show me your puppies.
He can translate for us as well, I believe. He has some
Juegos
of those
rancheros.
Skills in his background. Pete, how are you, buddy?
Здравствуйте. Как вы поживаете, товарищ?
Oh, no.
His native Colombian. I recognize that accent anywhere.
Greek.
Okay.
Or Turkish.
Well, there you go. So Pete from Scuba Board is connected with us down in the Keys via the web. Also, Vinny Two Tanks is with us as well. Vinny, how are you, buddy? Long time.
Yeah, it's been a while. How you been, Greg?
I'm great. We're going to hang together October 3rd in the Turks and Caicos. Vinny Two Tanks,
do I hate this guy,
is going to be there with us. So he's joining us for the show today. So we'll catch up with him and how he's getting ready for that big extravaganza. And by the way, it's not too late to join us. There's still spots available for the Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise with Explore Ventures. At least last I checked, as of last week, there were still a few spots left. If you want to give them a call, 1-800-322-3577, and you can snag them for yourself and have the trip of a lifetime as a diver. All right, before we get into all that kind of stuff, I want to go to Pete first because, Pete, did you go diving this morning down in the Keys, or was it yesterday? What were you telling me before showtime?
Well, to be completely accurate, yes, I went yesterday, and yes, I went this morning, and I'm going again tonight.
All right.
God,
so,
do I hate him.
So we got Pete during his surface interval, so that's a good thing. And so
I feel the gas bleeding off of me.
You are off-gassing as we speak, and ironically, so is Bubble Boy. Yeah.
As usual.
Yep. So, but it's a different kind of thing. However, what was the diving like? Because the weather's been really kind of off and on down here in Florida lately, hasn't it? I don't know if it's filtered down to you down in the Keys, but man, it's
we've had 100% chance of weather here in the Keys.
Okay, that makes sense. All right,
it's actually been really nice. It's been very, very flat up until this morning. It got a little choppy. Wasn't that bad. Nobody puked.
Yeah.
We have the wrecks, the real strong current earlier in the week. Right now, a friend of mine went down on the Eagle. And she said there was absolutely no current there. We had a bit of current on Molasses, but it was diveable. We had a good time. We had a full hour, came up with I think one of us came up with 1,800. I came up with 1,400 PSI. So it's real easy diving. It's not like you're blowing through a lot of air.
Well, very nice. Yeah,
shallow, saw four sharks.
Easy. Four sharks. What? Now, last night, though, you went on a night dive? Is that what you were saying?
No, tonight I'm going on a night dive.
Okay, so last week we had the dive god on, Neil Watson, who went down there on last Friday to look for the coral spawn. Are they still talking about that down there in the Keys, or what have you
heard?
The
viz has almost cleared up.
Okay, so they have spawned, they have screwed up the viz, but you weren't down there underwater at midnight when they were actually doing and doing their thing, getting their freak on, the coral.
You don't have to go at midnight to see the freak on.
Yeah, you can go anytime after they start doing
If you go
thing.
Right around the time and you bring a really bright light,
yeah,
the light will actually cause them to start the coral spawn.
The light.
I don't know
from
if that's
your...
healthy for them or not.
Wait a minute. So
yeah, they think it's the moon.
Really? So that
oh, it's a full moon.
You mean at,
that type of moon, the light moon.
Right, of course. But it has to be on a night dive, or that could happen during the day as well, or no? Would have to be
I
at
don't
night,
think
right?
They'll see your light very well at night.
Well, you haven't seen my lights. I take down the power of the sun with me these days.
I do that.
Yeah, you do that too. But yeah, okay.
I have 21 watt HIDs, and when you've got them at night, and it's a day before or the day of, if they haven't started, that'll just pop them going, and all of a sudden you're swimming through sperm and eggs.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
Yeah, that was
is the worst name for a brunch cafe ever.
Okay.
Sperm and eggs.
All right.
Sperm and eggs.
Lovely.
Okay, that's enough. Yeah. All right. So anyway, but it has to happen at night because that's when they have a tendency to get more amorous and start to do this kind of thing. But it only lasts.
I think they're shy.
Yeah. Well, that would make sense. But
or the people that would be eating the sperm and eggs, are not as likely to be out at night as they are during the day. So it's likely to be more successful.
The carnivores that would eat them are out at night.
There we are.
So that doesn't that take your theory and reverse it?
No. The carnivores are out. So the smaller animals that would eat the single celled organisms, the sperm and the egg, they would be hiding. So that the sharks don't get them.
Let's back that off.
And
let's say that he's wrong on that because the stuff that's going to eat them will be the stuff that's even smaller than the stuff that the carnivores are looking for.
Right, right.
They're like that's like a step or two behind them. I don't know that
nothing is going to be eating the sperm and eggs.
Debatable. We're not sure about that. We haven't.
No,
really
I think all the time whether or not I do it as a good job or not is what's debatable. I think all the time, sometimes stupidly.
No. That's you think all the time. You're getting the letters wrong.
Interesting. All right. Well, you two will be able to, we're going to have to throw you guys in a room, let you hash it out.
Oh, come on. We'll do it.
And see who comes out less bloody.
I will not eat those green eggs and sperm.
Yeah. But, the thing is, I wonder if you injected some
what the heck now with the injection?
Well, Barry White music, throw some underwater speakers. Would that help?
It is so sad you should even mention Barry White because today would have been his birthday.
Really?
Yes.
Well, happy birthday, Barry.
Barry died in 2003. Thanks for bringing it up.
Okay.
I've been scarcely able to get through a day.
Well, no wonder they weren't out when Neil was out last week. They probably need a new some new incentive, some new music to get their freak on,
I think that they've probably come up with something in the past dozen years.
Yeah, I bet some Muse would do it.
Muse? Sure. I was going to say Taylor Swift or something, but Muse, you're probably right. That would make more sense.
Maybe Shake It Off?
Yeah, Shake It Up or whatever.
No, Shake It Off is what you do after you've gone swimming in a coral spawn.
True. Yeah, do you feel a little dirty after doing that, Pete, or no? What do you think?
No, you don't what he does that makes him feel dirty.
Every time
you do rinse,
I finish a dive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, as you should. But yeah, I don't know. It's it is done, though, but the remnants and the visibility are down just a little bit because of the coral spawn. Going on down in the Keys right now. That's what you're saying.
Well, we think it's part that, and Bart, we just had a big major storm come by, sort of buzz us and peter out.
Now, so I did get reports. Now, a couple weeks ago before Erica came up through, well, the remnants of Erica, which was like the first tropical depression coming up the East Coast, that they had stirred up the lobster a little bit. Now, my reports were, as of last week, that the divers were catching the lobsters, but it wasn't big enough to push the lobsters up into the shallows like they would be for a walk. Have you heard anything along those lines, Pete, or no?
Haven't heard of any walks down here, but this is the Keys. They would probably just sort of meander. But I've seen lots of lobsters on all my dives.
Yeah. Well, that's
and
what...
Diving is a protected area, so you can't take those lobsters, but I'm seeing lots of lobsters.
Well, I think they were taunting you. When you're in the marine protected area and the lobsters are all out there just like, you know, thumbing their nose at you or their antenna and, you know, doing a little lobster conga.
Claw.
Yeah. Like, up yours, buddy. Yeah, you can't eat me. Yeah. All right. Well, we got more nonsense to share, so stick around on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com. But it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Is there anyone out there? Cause it's getting harder and harder to breathe.
This is Peter from Aquanauts Grenada. You are listening to Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. And now here is one of the most challenging rebreather students that I ever had, Greg the Dive Master.
With the exception of Mermaid Tony.
I can't say with the exception of Mermaid Tony.
Just lie. Go ahead.
I hate you.
Is there anyone out there? Cause it's getting harder and harder to breathe.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. I am a rebreather diver, and it's been a while since I've done any rebreather diving. And I don't know, Pete from Scuba Board, who is down in the Florida Keys, just went diving this morning and last night. You're not doing any rebreather stuff right now, am I right? Or are you just doing open circuit training and that kind of thing, or what?
I'm actually teaching my favorite class, which is trim buoyancy and propulsion. It's how to become. It's really how to do the frog kick and how to stay flat. And you know, I had one of my toughest students come in, told me that his wife wanted to take it. He didn't. Told me there was nothing for him to learn. And by the end of the class, he's going, "Holy crap! I didn't know all this."
No, wait a minute. So his wife wanted to take the class, and trim was in the title.
Yeah, go figure, huh?
Yeah, yeah. They're just walking right into.
I knew you were going
dangerous.
There.
Yeah, well, hey, that's just what
we're talking about attitude in the water, not attitude towards the other sex.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, rebreather diving. We're scheduled to check in with Peter and Galinda from Aquanauts Grenada in hour two and get an update on their rebreather program.
What do they
there.
Teach?
Well, they teach the inspiration and evolution from silent diving, and
that's
which is what
I
I'm certified on. You haven't tried that one yet. You haven't done that rebreather system.
No, I've done Revos. I've done Gems, the Kiss, and I've done the RB twos.
Okay, so you got a little snack in there between your rebreather training at Arby's. I've never heard of that. Yeah. So, well,
and you call my jokes lame. This is the sad part.
Well, I'm just trying to, you know, continue with the trend that you've set. You know, but here's the deal. Dima is going to be here in November, just a few weeks away.
It is.
And I haven't really been hearing a lot from the rebreather world lately as far as what's been going on with some of that stuff. Now, we always see a rush of it at Dima and there right after. But have you heard anything lately out of the manufacturers, or you think they're keeping the new, you know, big announcements close to the vest for the big show
in
November?
The biggest one out this year is the RB2, and it's a phenomenal unit. It can go from back mount to side mount with just a couple clips and a different retainer. I mean, it's awesome, different hose. I was very, very, very impressed with the RB2, but I don't know that we've had a lot of, you know, they've got to sell some of what they have before we get new stuff.
Well, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and he, you know, he's relatively, you know, just an open water circuit diver, and he hadn't been diving in like 10 years, and he was talking about getting back into it, and he was asking me questions, and because he knew I do this, you know, do this little show, and he goes, "What is the latest thing? I know equipment has changed a lot since, you know, the days when I was diving." And I said, "Actually, you know, really, it hasn't changed a lot. Computer wise and stuff, definitely. But as far as regulators and BCs, that stuff's pretty much the same. And you know, there's a new." You know, effort to make rebreathers a little bit more user-friendly or accessible to the recreational world. And that definitely spiked his interest when I explained to him, like, well, why, you know, he asked, why would you want to do a rebreather? Isn't that technical diving? I'm like, well, depends on how you look at it. If you want to use a rebreather and do a lot of dive, you know, deep technical stuff, yeah, does it allow you to do that and achieve some amazing bottom time? Or would you rather stay shallow, which is what I've done, and just do like a 3-hour dive, which is phenomenal?
You know, I think that the most overlooked reason to go rebreathers is photography, because you don't have bubbles, and the thing that scares fish more than anything are bubbles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, can't you get closer to whales? If you had a rebreather?
Well, in theory, you should, because, you know, what scares the critters off are the bubbles. And you know, despite how many times people tell you this, and you may have read it, you may have heard us talk about it, until you witness it yourself and you're diving a rebreather and you see personally how the fish literally swim up to you, it's like diving again for the first time.
I would agree with that.
I mean, it's remarkable how they react. I mean, that 3-hour dive that I did with Peter and Galinda down at Aquanauts Grenada when I was doing my checkout stuff, there was a section during that dive where we came up to this shallow reef from about 40 feet, and we came up to the edge of it after swimming through a patch of sand and kneeled down, all three of us. We were at a three-buddy dive team, and just kneeled down about 5 feet before the reef and just kind of sat down to just kind of I don't know, just kind of gather ourselves. We all kind of did this just without even thinking, or, you know, no hand signals, no nothing. We had just been swimming a while and like, hey, let's just settle down to the sand and kind of take in the scenery here for a minute or two before we continue on. So we kneeled down, and all of a sudden, the schools of little macro, you know, critters and fish and stuff slowly kind of came over to us and started inhabiting us like we were reefs. It was the It was the craziest thing I'd ever experienced. I'm like, oh my God, these little tiny fish are like swimming right up to my, you know, goggles and everything. And the reason was because I didn't have any bubbles, and they just thought I was a, you know, new home. They could, inhabit, I guess. And
they said, look, another dead diver. Let's go feast.
Yeah, okay. They could have thought that too. But, you know, I'm going to think of it more of a homey kind of
thing.
It's
just, if you want to take pictures, if you want to get close, first of all, wear colorful clothing. Don't wear black because, you know, big fish are usually dark or black like the jewfish. It turns real black before it feeds. Mm. And get on a rebreather. Okay. Look colorful, stop blowing bubbles, and you'd be surprised how close these guys will let you get.
Yeah. I don't know. CJ, Bubble Boy, what do you think? Would you want to do this rebreather thing?
Yeah.
Is it on your list?
He'd have to change his name. The non-Bubble Boy.
True.
Bubbleless Boy.
Well, I have a feeling even on a rebreather, he would manage to squeak out a bubble here and
Bubblicious.
There.
Only if I see a great white shark.
Bubba Boy.
Uh-huh.
Bubba Boy.
Yes. Yeah, maybe that's what we need to change him to. Bubba Boy.
Bubba Boy.
Yeah. But, you know, it's cool technology for sure. And yeah, if you push
Greg,
the no bubbles.
About what? Earlier, yeah. It's gotten easier. I mean, it used to be the source of. You really had to be on your game, and I'm not saying to get careless with it. You know, make sure your stuff is together right. Take the class. Mm-hmm. Don't shortcut the class. But it's a lot easier now to dive intelligently and to dive safely with all the stuff they have.
Well, there you go. Is it the future of diving? Well, we'll talk about that and a few other technological things that are popping up on the diving radar next, right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, along with CJ and Bubble Boy. Also, Pete from Scuba Board is online via the web. And if that weren't enough, Vinny Two Tanks with us as well. Now, we're talking a little bit about rebreathers, and could these be the, you know, for someone who's been out of the diving world and thinking about getting back into it, would this be an avenue they would want to pursue? And it's definitely getting more accessible as the rebreather manufacturers are trying to, I don't know, target or at least open up rebreather technology to the recreational market. So it's definitely going in that direction. Will it, take hold and really, you know, come on like gangbusters? I'm not so sure. Pete, what do you think? What do you think? Yeah? No? Maybe?
I don't know that it'll come on like gangbusters until the price drops.
Well, true,
dramatically.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got a higher price point. It's really not that much if you do a lot of diving, but if you're a vacation diver once or twice a year, then it's probably not for you.
Yeah, well, I will say I haven't been doing any rebreather diving since my certification, and the reason has been, well, first of all, my dive buddy split and left me. So Tony, Mermaid Tony, had other things like getting married and starting a family and all that kind of stuff got in the way. So I don't have another rebreather diver that I can actively dive with other than Pete, and he's down in the Keys all the time diving a whole different system altogether. So there's that issue, but the extra equipment is always a problem as well. But cost, yeah. I mean, I think you'd be lucky if you were able to get into even one of the cheaper or more economical rebreather systems for under $5,000, you think? Or what?
Yeah, I'd say they're starting at $5,000-$6,000 and going up for the very simple ones. And, you know, really, When I can jump off the boat today and do an entire hour dive on a single tank, why go to a rebreather? I mean, I put on another tank, I'm ready to go in for the next dive, and the boats are set up to move every hour. So really, unless you go on a boat that is set for rebreathers, why bother?
Well, good point. Mission is specific is what you got to think about. We'll talk about some of those situations where it may make a little bit more sense right after a Dan tip. That's coming up next on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Scuba Radio, Divers Consumer Tip number 276. When the apocalypse comes and the zombies take over the world.
Any zombies out there?
Divers, fear not. You'll have plenty of time to swim to safety as the undead gorge themselves on brain coral.
Don't say that.
What? Brain coral.
That.
This is now the United States of Zombieland.
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the Real Dan Good Diving Safety Tip. And in the studio, we have Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network. What do we need to know today, Nick?
Your dive site.
I don't have a dive site.
You do when you're diving, and you need to know it well.
Okay, I'll bite. How do I get to know a dive site? Swim up and introduce myself?
Well, that would certainly be one approach. But the introduction begins before you ever even get near the water. When preparing to visit a dive site, the first thing you should do is familiarize yourself with its location.
Wouldn't that be a given? Otherwise, how do I get there?
You're funny. I don't mean the city and state. I mean where the dive site is located and what factors might need to be taken into consideration. For example, if the dive site is in the ocean, how far from shore is it?
Oh, I get it. If it's land-based, how will you access it?
Exactly. Is it remote, or will supplies and resources be available if you need them?
I imagine the answers to these questions help you know what to bring with you.
Sure they do. If you know where there is no place to stock up on water, for instance, you know to bring plenty of it on your own. Similarly, if you know you're going to be heading, I don't know, 20 miles out to sea, you'll know to have whatever you need with you, as it won't be a quick ride back to the dock.
You know, I remember from another safety tip that you want to check out what emergency equipment and resources are on site, too.
Wow! You just made my day. Seriously?
I feel a little verklempt.
You're welcome.
But you are absolutely right. Part of knowing your dive site is knowing what you'll need to do in the event of an emergency. And that includes knowing what emergency resources are at hand, where's the nearest medical facility, and if any emergency procedures may be in place. Of course, if you're going to be in a location that has no formal dive operation in place, you'll need to cover all of that yourself.
What about the dive itself?
Before you ever enter the water, you should have at least some idea of what to expect. You should know the appropriate water temperature, the basics of the site topography, or hazards you might want to avoid, as well as any information available on currents, weather, and other appropriate factors.
What about marine life?
Absolutely. You should be aware of what marine life may be on the site. Critters are not only part of the excitement of diving, but should an unexpected encounter occur, you should be sure to have the appropriate first aid equipment with you.
So how do you go about researching a dive site?
In today's world, it's never been easier. You're living in the information age, and never has so much information been so readily available about, well, pretty much anything you want to look up. In terms of researching a dive site, the internet is good. Books, magazines, dive centers, and other divers are also outstanding resources, and the list goes on.
What about Dan?
Certainly, Dan can be a resource. If you need to know anything about emergency resources or medical care in the area, give us a call.
So it sounds like the whole point of this is the more familiar you are with a dive site before you get in the water, the less likely you are to run into trouble.
You've got it exactly right. There's no such thing as a foolproof plan, but it's well known that proper preparation and planning significantly reduce your chances of something going wrong. So by taking some time to learn about the dive site you'll be diving, you're taking action to increase your dive safety.
Knowledge is power, right?
You know it.
Exploring new places is one of the best parts of diving. But part of being a good explorer is learning what's already known about a given location. So before you head to your dive site, take some time to learn what you're diving into. A little familiarity ahead of time can help increase the fun and your safety. Do that, and you're guaranteed Dan Good Diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
And welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Yes, nonsense going on in during this all this stuff. During the commercial, during the Dan tip. It's just what we do sometimes. What did you do over there, CJ? What the heck happened? What
was that? There was an old script here.
From the Christmas play?
Nope. This is from your birthday.
My birthday? What
yeah,
do you mean?
We had some birthday messages from Ozzy Osbourne, Jay Leno, Tom Brokaw.
Oh, one of those. One of those, what we call in the biz, a bit, right?
Scooby-Doo.
And you signed it.
I signed it all the best.
Okay, well, at least
it was a joke.
At least we're amusing
ourselves.
But it's
still here from May.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious because it's just sitting here. Maybe it just hadn't been cleaned.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense. Look at this place. Yeah. I mean, we've been doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes to, you know, work with our new network, Radio America, which we're happy to have on board, by the way, and have opened up a whole list of new stations that have access to Scuba Radio across the country. So that's cool. But, you know, some of the other things that have kind of fallen behind would be like housework, you know, or studio cleanup. And so things are a little bit all over the place right now, you think?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So just make yourself at home in the stank that is, well.
I am a little disturbed about this. It looks, there's a storage bin that's clear, and it looks like a doll. It's super creepy. Do you see the doll?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I think that's the mermaid puppet, I think.
Yeah, yeah. That would be her resting place.
Okay, that's what that is.
Yeah, she's suffocated. There's no breather holes in that.
The mermaid puppet, yes, is, I don't know, what is it, in hibernation or?
Dry cleaning.
Dry. No, you can take her out of there if you like.
Well, no, it's like, on top of it. It looks like a mermaid tail or
she'll
something.
Be resurrected for Halloween, maybe. We'll do one of those things. You know, there's all this crazy stuff we have with mermaid puppets and God knows what else. By the way, Jerry the Diver Guy was going to join us today, but has had some issues up there in the mountains of Virginia with his internet connection. So,
well, let's go get drunk.
Okay. Well, I think that's what he decided to do. So he may be with us by the end of the show. He may not be. So we'll have to wait and see how that evolves. But Vinny Two Tanks is with us, and I know he is excited because he's getting ready to join us in the Turks and Caicos. And Vinny, have you already started, I don't know, doing any preparation as far as your dive gear or what you want to do on the liveaboard boat in October yet or no? What do you think?
Oh, yeah, I'm thinking about packing. Yeah, I'm regularly swimming every morning.
Oh, good. Okay. So working on your fitness. Yeah, making sure you're good and healthy and ready to put on a pound or two, thanks to the chefs there on the Turks and Caicos Explorer.
Right.
Too, I guess.
Right.
Yeah. Because it never fails. It'll happen for sure. There's a guarantee of that. Usually about a pound a day, just like if you're going on a cruise ship, unless you're really disciplined and maybe you can shave it down to a half a pound a day. We'll see.
But, yeah, that's true.
What about the diving, though? Last time you went on the trip, you actually did a two-week trek from Providenciales, where we board the Turks and Caicos boat, and you actually did a special boat where you went over to Grand Turk and spent a week over there and then came back, so it was a two-week run altogether and did, like, I don't know, did you do your solo diving certification or Nitrox or something, right? What was it?
I did the Nitrox certification.
Nitrox. Okay. So do you got any plans to do anything special on the trip this year as far as any other certification that you want to, you know, add to your repertoire as a diver or what?
I was thinking about taking the solo diver course, but I'm not sure yet. I figure I can. I've been diving a lot solo a lot over the years.
Right. Well,
you're not supposed to, but
Vinny Two Tanks works for Spare Air. And you know, one of the things that's nice about Spare Air, not only if it's your own independent redundant system, it's actually required if you're a solo diver to have something like this. And Spare Air is perfect for that type of activity. Am I right? Right, Vinny? Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, it's you can use it. It's part. It you can carry a spare with the TDI solo diving course. It's okay to use a spare.
Yeah, and from that standpoint, I think it would make a lot of sense. Now, did you talk to the folks who could explore adventures on that last trip about doing your solo diver certification too, or no? Have you actually had discussions, Vinny, or what?
I kind of chatted about it. Yeah. You have to have some extra equipment. You have to have an extra mask, and of course, you have to have a redundant air supply system like spare air.
Hey, Pete from Scuba Board, help me out on this, because, you know, I've been thinking about this, too. That is actually a certification I don't hold, which is solo diver, and I'm not necessarily a big proponent for solo diving, but I have found over the years that depending on what kind of group I'm diving with, I'm not necessarily diving solo, but I'm diving as a group as opposed to with a buddy directly. And we may be in a group of like 5-6 people, you know, and everybody's kind of buddied up together, or a three-way group. And I've always been very redundant in my own sense of the word, as far as I don't want to necessarily rely on my buddy as much as I want to make sure if I have a problem, yeah, maybe they can help bail me out, but really I'm responsible for me. And well, I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break, and I want to see what your thoughts are on that as well, because he's a dive instructor, and this may be a path that I pursue on our next trip, and we'll talk about it next. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at exploreventures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Did you know fewer than 2% of divers ever achieve the PADI Master Scuba Diver Rating? Earning your Master Scuba Diver Rating places you in an elite group. People will know you've spent time underwater in a variety of environments with significant experience and training. Rescue diver certification with 5 specialties and a minimum of 50 log dives are all you need. And for a limited time, get a free e-card when you earn your PADI Master Scuba Diver Rating. So join the elite. Contact your local PADI Dive Center resort or instructor to plan your journey towards Master Scuba Diver today.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Brand new angle, quite a commendable. Seaside rented, it's so fashionable.
Hi, this is Joshua Daniel from the island of St. Eustatia. Until you make it to the island, please keep listening to the Super Radio.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba, like scuba diving.
Scuba Radio.
To Scuba Radio.
Tuba Radio.
To Scuba Radio.
Tuba Radio.
Yeah, it's close enough.
Super Radio, the first world radio show devoted to diving.
I feel like dancing.
Yes, those were the days. God bless Joshua Daniels. there on the island of Statia. God rest his soul. Passed away a few years ago, but great memories from that little adventure. All right, so we're talking a little bit about diving solo. That's what I want to, you know, I want to ask Pete from Scuba Board about this because, you know, Pete, you're a dive instructor as well.
I am.
And you, first of all, do you have a solo diver certification under your belt or no?
I do.
You do have that. So
I do. It's called cave diver.
Okay, well, that... That doesn't technically have you certified to be a solo diver on a liveaboard because they're going to want to see that C card if you want to dive solo.
Actually, once you show them the full cave, that's like several levels above solo diving on a liveaboard.
Well, I don't doubt that it's rated higher, but does it count?
Sure. I have yet to have a liveaboard look down on my cave card and say, oh, yeah, you don't know what you're doing.
Well.
Because as a cave diver, it's the ultimate in redundancy.
Well, true, but, I don't know, though. I'm not so sure that would hold up from an official company, you know, wide standard.
As I say, I have yet to be denied on any liveaboard that I've been on from diving solo.
Well, yeah, but they know
as long as I had the equipment to back it up.
Well, they know you. You're Pete from Scuba Board.
Who the hell do you think you are?
Well, Pete from Scuba Board. I just said that, see? And they would... They give you a little bit more leeway. But I
think the exact opposite is true. What would you do if we lost Pete from Scuba Board today? I mean, that would not look good.
That would be bad for business. Yeah, that'd be bad for business, I think, for sure.
It probably would be. Yeah. So I think it's the opposite effect. You know, I've had people be tougher on me because of who I am rather than be more lenient. Mm-hmm. But I think that solo diving is a very important thing to approach with the proper mindset and the proper reasoning. Most people in today's diving world are what we call SOBs, same ocean buddies.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, so when you go on a boat and you've got an
Insta
buddy. I don't
think that's what that stands for.
Are you sure? Yeah.
It doesn't the dive industry deal with it. When you go and get that Insta buddy, you may know what you want in a buddy, but that doesn't mean they know what you want in a buddy.
Right.
And so I think having every diver learn how to be self-sufficient, learn to be a solo diver, is important.
Well, I think any continuing education effort is going to make you a better diver, period. And, you know, my thing with the solo diver certification, I honestly have thought about whether or not I should go ahead and just get that certification just for the educational benefit. Now, I don't know. I don't know if I'll learn anything that I don't already know. Beyond, you know, I mean, you need to have a redundant air source. You know, Vinny mentioned that they make you have two masks, which I'm not even sure I understand that part. What's the point of having a backup mask if your first one knocks off and you lose it or something, I guess?
If you get, especially this happens cave diving.
Yeah.
And cave diving is kind of retracted. It used to be a second mask was mandatory. Now not so much because I can make it out of a cave without a mask.
Well, yeah.
If I can make it out of a cave without a mask, then I can make it up to the surface without a mask.
Okay? I would think yeah.
It's just not that hard. But it's really taking responsibility for yourself as a diver. You know, people looking at the additional gear, and the additional gear is because of your mindset has to change. Your mindset has to be you are your own redundancy. You're your own redundant air. You're your own redundant mask. You're your own redundant. Now, you got two fins, so you're already covered there. Mm-hmm. But you've got to be your own redundancy when you do this.
Yeah.
And if you're not your own redundancy, then you're fooling yourself. You're not really being a responsible solo diver.
Well, true. And you know, when I was having this conversation I referred to earlier about the guy who hadn't been diving in like 10 years, and he was asking me about equipment. He goes, well, you know, what do you do? Are you doing the rebreather thing? And all the equipment has changed with dive computers. And I said, yeah, you know, it has changed a lot. It's gotten a lot better. It made it a lot more accessible and easier to manage with the technology as far as especially when it comes to dive computers and staying out of trouble with decompression sickness and things like that. However, these electronics can fail. And I said, for me personally, I may have two or three dive computers I'll dive just because I have the luxury of being handed this stuff all the time from the manufacturers to go give it a dive, and I might have accessible, or I might, it might be, you know, some of this technology is a lot easier for me to access than people that might have to drop $1,000 here, $1,000 there. However, I always have a redundant backup system of a redundant air source and just a very small pressure gauge. So if all these electronics fail, I still know how much air I have in my tank, and I can revert back to the tables and know if I'm within the realm of safety as far as staying out of decompression issues and things like that. And
see, I take a different approach to it than that, Greg.
Yeah? What's
that? If my electronics fails, I'm going to stop diving for the day. It's not that big a deal.
Well, yeah, but I'm just I'm talking about midway through the dive. I mean, if
I'm talking about midway through the dive. I mean, unless you're doing a decompression dive, unless you're into deco, which very few of divers actually get into, you just call the dive, go to the surface. I mean, it's not that big a deal.
Well,
you're done.
Well, true, true. But I have backup systems where if I wanted to continue, if I knew I was well within the realm of safety, by just reverting back to, like, if I was working the tables, I could still do some diving if I wanted, you know? So there you go. That's two trains of thought. You can take your pick and learn accordingly. All right. Hour two of Scuba Radio is on deck. We're going to check in with Peter from Aquanauts Grenada. The Scuba Cowboy is threatening to join us, so prepare yourself accordingly as we get ready to launch hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.